This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. A recent ruling by the Vermont Supreme Court has major implications for how we think about parental rights and who can claim to be a parent. The ruling itself is pretty narrow, and it concerns two Vermont women who were raising adoptive children together. The women, Sarah Sinnott and Jennifer Peck, never legally married or got a civil union, and Peck was the only parent listed on the adoption papers for both children. When their relationship broke up, they agreed to joint custody, but that arrangement eventually broke down, and Sinnott sued for rights to see the children. A lower court ruled that she had no standing, but on December 1st, the state Supreme Court partially reversed that ruling. Joining us now to explain this and its wider potential impact is Susan Apel, a law professor at Vermont Law School and a longtime family law practitioner. Susan Apel, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you.
So this, as I said, is a partial reversal. What did they actually rule?
Well, they actually ruled that, as you said, there are two people here in this family, two adult women. One is the adoptive mother, and the other is her partner. The partner went to court to try to be determined to be a legal parent, and the family court would not, when you said she doesn't have standing, it means the family court would not even allow her to make an argument on her own behalf. So when she appealed to the Vermont Supreme Court, the Vermont Supreme Court has reversed that in part, saying she is now allowed to go back to the family court and make an argument, but only with regard to the second child, not the first child. There are two children. She will now be making the argument that she stands as a legal parent for the second child.
And that's because the older child, who this ruling does not apply to, was adopted by Jennifer Peck prior to their decision to parent together. So the younger child, the question is, can they parent together? This was a decision that they say they made jointly. The legal adoption papers were only signed by Jennifer Peck, but Sarah Sinnott says, we agreed to parent together. We made this decision together. And in fact, we did parent together. Essentially, is this a win for Sarah Sinnott?
Well, you'd have to ask Sarah Sinnott, but certainly she is farther along to getting what she set out to do than she was before this decision, because she was completely shut out from the family court, and now she will have an opportunity to go back and, as I said, make an argument at least on behalf of the second child.
This is an interesting case, you know, just because it's an interesting case on its own merits, but it's especially important because it deals with an important area of what seems like really increasing legal ambiguity, and that is who can claim to be a parent. So in this case, as we said, Sarah Sinnott had no biological connection to the children and no legal connection by way of adoption. Her partner had legally adopted both children on her own. But Sinnott and her lawyers argued that she was a de facto parent because they had agreed to parent together. They did parent together. Sinnott and the children had strong emotional parent-child bonds. And the court is really saying that this kind of relationship needs to be taken into consideration in cases like these, not just a legal or biological connection to a child. How big a deal is that?
It's a really big deal. It's a game changer. But it is one that reflects how people are now forming families. In more traditional times, children were either formally adopted through the law, or they were born into a marriage, and for a long time that was just a heterosexual marriage. And if you look now at how people form families, there are people who are bringing children into the family who are unmarried. There are people who are having children through assisted reproductive technology. And you have people like these two women who are adopting children and bringing them into the family. And the problem is that the rules for how to determine parentage have not taken into account those changes. And so the court is trying to, you know, take into account that things have changed, but it is having to operate under old rules. And that's difficult. They're making their way slowly, but what they really want is for the legislature to carry the ball on this and really lay out some clear rules. And as of now, the legislature has not done that.
Yeah, I mean, they actually admonished the legislature in this ruling, right, saying you need to be taking these new ideas of family into account. You need to be making some rules because it is not clear. And we're operating in this situation where the rules are not clear for these couples and for these families.
Well, it's absolutely true. And at the same time, they say while they would like the legislature to act, these cases just keep coming before them, and these cases need to have resolution. And so if the legislature is not going to act, the court also can't be paralyzed and do nothing. But they, you know, they don't like having to kind of make up the rules as they go. They want some clarification from the legislature. And there is some indication that maybe that will happen. There is some reference in the dissent to the fact that there has been a committee studying this, and they have presented a proposal to the legislature, and there is, you know, hope that maybe the legislature will sooner rather than later act on this proposed legislation, but we don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and we are going to be looking at that study on a future program.
Yeah, you're going to have to, I'm very sorry, you're going to have to speak up a little bit because I think our connection's not terribly good.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, so let me ask you another question here then. And, you know, this is all in the context of Vermont. The Supreme Court was telling the Vermont legislature to ask, and this is a case that involves two Vermont women. Do you see this case as having implications in other states or in terms of federal guidelines and laws?
Well, I don't think that there is going to be much by way of federal guidelines, only because these family law issues have traditionally been issues that states deal with, not federal law. In some other countries, it's different. Great Britain, for example, has what we would call a federal law that applies throughout the country. Will it affect other states? Well, at this stage, every state is kind of in a similar boat in that they're trying to figure out whether and how to change the way we look at legally recognized parents. And so you may notice that in this decision, for example, you know, the court is talking about its prior rulings and looking at how some other states are dealing with it because everybody's trying to learn from everybody else. And so it may well be that, you know, another state dealing with a similar case to this one will say this is how Vermont did it, and they may like the reasoning of this decision, and, you know, and they may then try to style their own resolution of the issue around the rationale of this decision.
Professor Apel, do you see these rule changes ultimately as something that is going to be through legislative action at the state level, or are these really going to be decided through these court cases, and that's going to set precedent going forward?
Well, I told your producer yesterday that I started teaching about these kinds of issues about 20 years ago, and there was really very little legislation. And at the time, I said I thought that was because, you know, legislatures had been kind of caught unaware of all of these technological changes and weren't keeping up with formations of families in new ways. But certainly it's been around now for a while, and there are some states that have legislated. There are a lot of states that have chosen not to legislate, and I'm not sure exactly why not. I think it's presents some difficult legal issues, and also maybe some difficult political issues. And it seems as though getting legislation has been problematic.
Well,
I'm hopeful, because I think what people really want to know is, what are the rules?
Yeah. You know, and we are going to have to continue this conversation, because we'll see what the rules are. We'll see what the legislature does this year. Susan Apel, law professor at Vermont Law School, I want to thank you for being on the show and helping clarify what this case means and what it could mean going forward. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.